Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 38. This week, we got all our movie news, our TV news. No trailers this week. No what you're watching this week. But then, something that I think we were excited for. I don't know if we're so excited anymore. The Meg review. We'll do, I guess, maybe like a little bit of non-spoiler and then spoiler. But
you know what this movie is. Yeah. I mean, we can't spoil anything for you. It's the Meg.
So yeah, we get to talk about Jason Statham fighting a 90-foot shark. What could be more fun than that?
It's exactly what I thought it'd be. And that's either a good or a bad thing, depending on the state of mind you go in before the movie. But we'll talk about that soon.
First up in movie news this week, Ben Schwartz, who played John Ralphio in Parks and Rec, is going to voice Sonic the Hedgehog in the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which is the live-action CGI hybrid with James Marsden playing some character, I assume a human character, and yeah. Jim Carrey playing Robotnik, apparently going to be live-action, not CGI'd. So.
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
I mean, Ben Schwartz has done plenty of voices. He did he helped out with the BB-8 noises for the new Star Wars movies. He's in like the DuckTales TV show now. He does the voice for that. I think he does some other voices, but he's pretty funny. I like him, so I just like don't understand how this movie is gonna work.
I saw some set pics, and it was Ben Schwartz, I think, in Green Man wearing a Green Man suit, driving an SUV with just human characters in the SUV as well. So it really is going to be a jarring, weird movie, I think, but I cannot wait to see a teaser or a trailer.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So he's going to be like motion capture?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to do a little bit of mocap. I honestly have no idea.
He's just doing a bunch of somersaults.
The last person, I think, to voice him on the cartoon was the guy who played Steve Urkel, I think.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll see what happens with this. Next up, Power Rangers. A sequel is in early development, officially. Although it feels like, you know, it's probably always been in early development, to be entirely honest. You know?
Yeah.
I assume they were planning on launching a universe. The first one. Did you like the first one? I think
the first one was good enough that it didn't, like, shit on my, like, memories of Power Rangers. It wasn't great, but like I enjoyed it, and I went in, you know, just looking to have fun with it. And they teased what they needed to tease at the end, and I really hope they take that direction. What about you?
I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not like the biggest Power Rangers guy, and I was just kind of like, I'll throw it on. We'll see like what it's about. I was expecting it to be kind of like dumb and bad. It was pretty entertaining, and I thought
it
like
wasn't
they
bad.
For the most part, I thought even like the high school drama stuff was fine. Wasn't like too cringy or anything like that. I thought it worked well. And most of the characters, outside of like one character that was like supposed to be, was there a gay character in it?
There was, I think, a bi character, and she like complained about her parents so much, and she was like, "Oh, my parents want me to live a normal life."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Well, yeah, they love you."
That was the one annoying aspect of the movie. But
she's like, "I've my problems matter. I've got so many problems. I'm in high school."
but yeah, no, I mean, and even like the stuff like all the big action scenes, or like I should say, like the big action scene at the end was pretty cool without being like, oh, it's kind of nerdy. But
there are far worse young adult movies. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah.
I would love to see a sequel to this. Get me some green White Ranger. I'm hyped. I'm hyped as hell for this.
Next up, director Sean Levy has confirmed that he has a completed script for the Uncharted film adaptation of the Uncharted video game, which is supposed to be starring Tom Holland. So this is going to be like a prequel to the video games, I guess.
Okay.
Everyone has been clamoring for like an Uncharted movie for a pretty long time, I think. And they want Nathan Fillion to play the lead character, Nathan Drake.
Well, I think they did a long time ago. Like, he's a little too old, a little too fat now.
Yeah.
But yeah, continue.
But yeah, so it's Joe Carnahan, who has directed, he directed like The Gray, he directed Smokin' Aces, it's kind of weird stuff. He wrote a script that they were originally moving forward with like a few years ago, and then they completely scrapped it, and they have a new one now. Sean Levy is actually a producer for Stranger Things. So interesting, sort of like an adventurous kind of take here. But Tom Holland, I'm all about it. I feel like that works. I'm all about Tom Holland being like a Indiana Jones type in a way.
Yeah, I think he needs to bulk up a little bit. I've never played any of these games, but I've watched all their trailers and know, you know, what's involved. This could be really cool. I think Tom Holland could slay it.
Yeah. We'll see if it actually happens. This is just one of those video game movies that is always in development. So, next up, right here, skip ahead like a minute, 2 minutes, because this is potential spoilers in this talk right here.
For what?
For Avengers Infinity War and the Marvel Universe.
Got it.
Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders are going to reprise their roles as Nick Fury and Maria Hill, respectively, in Spider-Man Far From Home, the Spider-Man Homecoming sequel. So, this means one of two things. Spider-Man Far From Home is going to be taking place before the events of Avengers Infinity War.
Yep.
Or it takes place after, and we know that Tom Holland's character, Spider-Man, and these two characters are fine, and things are going to turn out completely okay.
I'm going to go with before. I don't think they would reveal that so quickly and give everybody that sigh of relief. I know everybody obviously knows Spider-Man's going to come back. All these characters are going to come back, but I'm going to go with before. What about you?
I've been on the before train for as long as this movie has been announced.
For sure.
Everyone says, like, oh, well, Sony has, like, no obligation to, like, make sure that it ties into everything within the Marvel universe. It's like, they're not going to piss off Marvel. Marvel is making their lives right now.
Yeah. They're, like, basically keeping them from filing bankruptcy.
Yeah.
That's not true, but in a sense.
Did you see that the name for the Spider-Man universe?
Yeah, it was something awful.
It was the abbreviation was SUMC, SUMC. It was like Spider-Man unconnected something. It was some like weird
Spider-Man thing. Unconnected Marvel crossover or something that.
Yeah,
something terrible.
Just an absurd thing, like, oh, let's make a Spider-Man universe with no Spider-Man. Just a great idea.
Yeah.
Sony, they'll figure it out.
Also, I don't know if this is on your things to talk about, but I thought it was that Venom... Didn't Venom get confirmed PG-13 rating?
Yes, I think it did.
I don't know if we talked about that before, but that disappoints me.
Yeah, that's...
And I think apparently it was because I think Marvel didn't want him to be like R bad if he joins the universe at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Which is annoying because like Deadpool is R and like technically he's not going to be in an Avengers movie anytime soon that we don't know, I guess, but
yeah.
That sucks. I'm sure it was shot with R in mind and is going to be chopped to a PG-13 just like the Meg.
Yeah. Next up, Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth have exited Star Trek IV due to a pay dispute. Both left because they wanted the basically sort of like the standard contracts that they're getting now as opposed to what the Star Trek contracts they were getting before. And Paramount, I think, is under new leadership as well. And so basically they're like, want to keep a steady budget for this. But Chris Pine has kind of blown up even more. Chris Hemsworth is obviously on top of the world right now. So they're going to demand hefty paydays. They're not getting it. How do you feel about this? I think we've talked about the Star Trek movies before. We're not, like, super into them. They're, like, fun to watch. They're kind of cool. But, like, we're not, like, addicted or, like, really into this franchise. But it does feel weird to not... Like, it'll feel weird if Chris Pine doesn't hop on this.
It will feel really weird. And I think they'll just have to write around it and make it yet another, like, time-travel-y movie. I think it was going to go that route anyway, obviously, with Chris Hemsworth potentially coming back to reprise his role where he died within the first 10 minutes of the movie, which I loved him in that first 10 minutes. I thought it was really effective. We'll see. I think they'll get him back. I mean, this doesn't mean they're not coming back, but for now they're out. I think they'll shoot around it and we'll get him back. But yeah, Chris Pine not being in this universe, this reboot,
would be really weird. I still just like have no idea what's going on with the Tarantino one too. Like if that's supposed to have them as well, just a weird situation with these movies. Next up, the Oscars have had quite a few bad years ratings-wise. I believe they're like running at like 50% of what they got like 10 years ago in viewership. So the Academy has planned a few changes. They want to appeal internationally by making it a strict 3-hour telecast. So 3-hour show, which means that they're going to cut out some awards and just show them live at the ceremony during commercial breaks, which means us at home don't get to see these awards, which usually means that's going to be like technical awards and like design awards, that kind of stuff. I like seeing foreign the technical films. Awards, to be honest. Like,
I do too. I want to be like, oh my God, that movie deserves everything because it looked amazing.
And then on top of that, they are going to add a new category. And this has been kind of controversial. They're going to add a popular film category. So 9 years ago, after The Dark Knight came out and The Dark Knight got snubbed for a Best Picture nomination, that's when they expanded or changed the rules for Best Picture so there could be up to 10 Best Picture nominees. So this kind of thing would happen. So these big blockbuster movies would get recognition in Best Picture. Apparently, they're not too thrilled with it, and they think the best way to get more people to watch is to have a category where there's 100% going to be those like top 5 movies of the year, box office-wise, or something like that, that like people are going to tune in because they want to see it win this stupid award. But like,
it takes away from creating like masterpieces. Like, we love Infinity War, but aside from visual and potentially audio, it does not deserve to win an Oscar. And now it would have a chance to. Like, is the next award dankest meme in a movie? Like, are they real? Like, are all the awards going to be presented via hoverboards that people ride
just
in?
Just trying like, to turn in the Teen Choice Awards or, like, the MTV Movie Awards. At least the MTV Movie Awards does, like, ridiculous categories like Most Terrified Performance, Best Kiss.
Hottest lesbian kiss on
stuff
camera.
Like that. And like they know it's like not a serious thing. This is the Oscars. They're like you losing credibility by doing this. And even more so is would a movie, they haven't released like how they're gonna decide on this category, but would a movie like Get Out, would that have not been able to make the Best Picture category last year? Because I would much rather have like Get Out in the Best Picture category than this popular film category. And I think this year, I don't think Black Panther deserves to be a Best Picture movie, but I think people would probably rather see it and as a Best Picture nomination than a popular film nomination.
It's basically just going to be the category that people are like, oh, great. Yep, they won it there, but like that's it's like a fake. It's like a fake Oscar.
I don't get it.
News.
Oh, they're also moving it up like 3 weeks, so it's going to be at like the beginning of February as opposed to the end of February. I don't know why that makes a difference to them, but who knows? These fucking people. Last movie news story of the week: The It Follows director and writer David Robert Mitchell, I believe his name is tackling an adaptation of a horror short called They Hear It. He's not directing it, but he is writing it. The original director or creator of the short is going to be directing it. But They Hear It, so he's just sticking in his It lane because he made It Follows. This is about a... One second, let me pull this up. Just really got to get it down here. This is about a mysterious presence called The Sound that once heard by anyone has terrible consequences. So, interesting. So people really just want to key in on this whole sound thing and silence thing and Quiet Place really inspired.
Well, and like it's almost him taking the same concept of It Follows and like making it like a past pathogen type thing. Like, yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen It Follows, it's really good. One of the best horror movies I've seen in years. Definitely overhyped, you know, before I saw it. But looking back, I really did enjoy it. But we'd love to see more from this guy. So we're still on that audio horror train. Yep. Thanks to
Aquatic Place. All right, that is it for movie news this week. Next up, we have TV news. The Stranger Things producer, Sean Levy, who we were talking about before, promises a darker and more action-packed season 3 of Stranger Things. It's going to be set during the summer, so it's going to be like a little bit brighter, apparently, which kind of contrasts with the whole darker thing. But he says that...
Summer break?
You know how season 2 got more cinematic? Apparently season 3 is going to up it even more. That's where the action pack comes in. He says that it's drawing a lot from sort of John Carpenter movies in the 80s, so... Interesting, maybe slasher-esque. We have talked about how we kind of hope that it would maybe tone down how like big it gets, I'd be more content with spending more time with the characters and sort of just focusing more story wise. So I don't know how I feel about this. I like the first teaser that they put out of like the fake mall sort of promotion kind of thing. Summer vibe, that's nice. A little bit switch up. So I don't know. Yeah.
So I'm fine with darker. Yeah. I don't know if I need more action-packed. I mean, season two is pretty action-packed, and it lacked a little bit of the character moments that season one had. I don't know. I like half of this.
Hopefully this just doesn't mean that we get more eights or whatever the other people were. Maybe that's not more action like that.
Oh, God, no. See, episode seven of last season, the worst episode of any TV show.
Yeah, we
show
definitely
ever.
Don't need that.
Good God.
But he says that they're moving along pretty fast, so I'd assume, but they're 100% just going to release it like next Halloween anyway, so it's still going to be like a year away. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going to save it till September, October.
The FX boss, John Landgraf, has said that he misses Louis C.K. and would bring Louis back. And he would love to have him back for a season six. In case you missed the stories last fall, Louis C.K. had some sexual harassment claims come out against him that weren't great by a number of women. And so he kind of just faded into the black here. But apparently the FX boss really wants him back.
You know who I miss? I miss Kevin Spacey. Let's get him back. He's done his time. This is interesting because I always like we're in a time where we need to see what's going to happen here. Is it going to be these scenarios where Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. go away for a year, mm-hmm. 2 years, and then they come back and they get in the limelight again? Like how long is?
I have no idea. And I think kind of the another part of this interview or whatever this press conference was that where he talked about this. He said that ultimately, it's not his decision, or I think more FX people said it's not his decision to just bring it back, but they said it's more about what society feels. So it's more about just what the viewing public wants to see, if they're okay with people coming back like that. I don't know if people are going to be too thrilled with it, although it feels like all those kind of news stories have kind of died down over the summer, at least so far. So maybe, like people are forgetting about it, and like a year from now, I could see it potentially. But
I know, I think Louis C.K. has tweeted and talked a little bit, but has Kevin Spacey?
I think
made
he's like
peep?
Under actual
I don't think
criminal
anyone's heard from the guy.
So, yeah.
Oh baby, I got a feeling
Kevin Spacey has a movie called Billionaire Boys Club coming out this weekend.
Okay, they gotta retitle that. They gotta retire.
Starring Ansel Elgort and Taron Egerton, yeah.
Oh, Ansel Elgort? Ansel Elgort, the hottest name. Dropping those hot tracks on the Vivo YouTube channel. If you haven't seen, the guy in Baby Driver, the lead in Baby Driver in that Fault in Your Stars movie, I think. Is he in that? His name is Ansel Elgort, and that is the worst name ever. And he's also a pop artist. Google Ansel
bangers.
Elgort song on YouTube.
Next up.
He's got some hits.
Next up,
what
Hulu
are we
is
we got
on track to lose, prepare yourself, $1.5 billion in 2018. To put this in comparison, they're spending, I believe, $3.5 billion on content and trying to get new subscribers, I guess. Netflix is spending $13 billion on content, and Amazon is spending $8 billion, I believe. So those are outlandish numbers. I don't even understand how you can spend that much money on these shows that they're putting out. Like, it's crazy.
On anything ever.
That's so much money. How do you lose $1.5 billion in a year?
It's easy. You spend more than the subscribers bring in. I mean, out of all the services, definitely, I know anecdotally the least of my friends subscribe to Hulu. That's for sure. Yeah. And like, I don't, like, everybody hates their ads. Like, their ad platform, like, their ads in, like, in the content's really intrusive. So, yeah, I can see
them, I guess.
Do they have, like, an epic right now? They don't have anything like Man in the High Castle, Game of Thrones, or Lord of the Rings in the
they
works.
Have,
like, they don't
I like
have
Handmaid's
a big
Tale.
Show. Yeah. Is that original and that's by them?
Yeah, okay, and I think obviously Castle Rock is trying to take off. I think they just renewed it for season 2, another news bit there. But mostly for like the first few years, they kind of just thrived on like these smaller comedy shows, I think, which is not going to pull a bunch of people in to watch. All right, last news story of the week. Paul Rudd is going to star in a Netflix show called Living With Yourself from the directors of Little Miss Sunshine. Rudd will play dual roles in the series, which follow a man struggling in life who undergoes a new treatment to become a better person. So it's going to be 8 episodes. Sounds, you know, kind of dramedy-ish, I would assume. You know, if you're trying to become a better person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does dramedy well, though. So he's playing two roles? Like, maybe multiple personalities. Jesus, you say that 5 times fast, and I'll give you $100. Multiple personalities.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That could be interesting.
I don't know if I've ever seen Little Miss Sunshine, so I don't know if I can, like, make an assessment on these directors.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's dramedy. Yeah. Right. Like, heartwarming but sad.
Enough. Well, good for Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and a Netflix show. Nice.
I need you to become the Ant-Man.
All right, that is it for news this week. Now we got time to talk about The Meg. The Meg stars Jason Statham, Cliff Curtis, Rainn Wilson, aka Dwight Schrute,
Rose something is the Asian
girl.
Ruby
Rose.
Ruby Rose.
Was the mute assassin in John Wick Chapter 2. Li Bingbing, who is like a Chinese actress that I think they're trying to push. Sort of to boost.
Did you get
Chinese
the guy from Fear the Walking Dead?
Yep, that was Cliff Curtis. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this is about a giant megalodon shark.
Yeah.
Ravaging
and
the seas,
them fighting it.
Yep. And so it's an absurd movie, directed by John Turteltaub, who made the National Treasure movies. Nice. But he hasn't made anything good.
The Declaration of Independence.
Hasn't made anything good in about. Who knows? Whenever the last
hasn't
national
he doing kids movies the last 10 years?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Was it like a horror? Wasn't like Eli? Was it Eli Roth originally penned to direct this?
I thought he was.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and it definitely would have been way more gory. One of the news stories last week was like Jason Statham was pissed that the director toned down the gore to get the PG-13 rating, which is kind of a funny thing for the star of your movie to do, to kind of badmouth your movie the day it comes out. Doesn't seem like the best idea. But The Meg did premiere at number 1 at the box office. It made $44.5 million, doubling what Mission Impossible Fallout made in second place there in its third weekend, along with $141 million worldwide.
Dude, people love shark movies. Americans love their shark movies. This was penned. I think this was reshot and changed a little bit to appeal to overseas audience a little more. Like,
I believe that
50% of the cast, all the extras are basically Asian, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's set in like Thailand or Bangkok Singapore, one of those three.
Yeah.
Although most of the movie is set in the water, out in the ocean. Should we do non-spoilers? Or should we just do it?
What'd this get on Rotten Tomatoes? What are we dealing with here?
Rotten Tomatoes, 48% critic score, 60% audience score. Average rating from critics is 5.5 out of 10. So that lines up pretty well, I guess. So supremely average is basically what
one.
It is.
It's a 50-50 shot whether you're gonna like this or not. And I think it's how you go into it. If you're going in expecting, you know, on an Oscar movie, you're not going to have fun. If you go in going in there thinking this is a Jason Statham movie where he fights a shark, you're going to have a good time. I got a couple non-spoilers to go over.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't figure out if I liked it or not.
Yeah.
But I was shocked at how action-packed it was. It's like only big set pieces. Big like action scenes. There is maybe 10, 15 minutes of actual like non-action dialogue.
I was surprised with the budget of this movie and the visuals. I thought it'd be Sharknado or TV quality nonsense, but it looked pretty good, and every act was a major set piece, a major action piece.
Yeah, the entire first act is almost just an action sequence.
Yeah. I thought the cast was fine. Jason Statham was good. Dwight Schrute was good. But some of the rest of the cast wasn't very good.
I thought most of them were bad. And yeah, I think it was possibly... Okay, actually, the editing in this movie is unbelievably terrible.
So is some of the dialogue, yep.
The dialogue is just so choppy and weird because of the editing. It's
some
like
of the lines don't make sense.
It was like they don't know how to cut from one person talking to the other person listening. It was like they always had to have the camera on the person talking, but then it was like this weird delay after that line finished where they'd cut back to the other person for their response line, and it was just like this weird thing, and they never just like used like a wide shot of people talking. No. It was always like that TV look, like right over your shoulder kind of thing.
Every person in this movie was also a trope and a stereotype and a character we've seen before. There's nothing new here. You've got the lead female interest who obviously is going to have a romantic interest with the lead male who I was like, can she just not have to get saved constantly?
Yeah.
This is pathetic. Like, let her do something heroic. And that's sure, it's kind of spoiler, but Jesus Christ. I was like, one of these times she's going to do something where Jason Statham or anybody else in the cast has to... Statham's just saving everyone's ass. Everyone's falling in the water every 5 minutes.
I do, Jason Statham in this movie doesn't, you know, deliver lines very well, and he has a lot of just absurd facial expressions where he's, like, responding to what people are saying, which adds to just, like, if you go into this movie and you know that it's going to be a bad movie, essentially, you'll have fun with it.
Yes. Because,
like, at a certain point, I was like, all right, I'm done trying to hope
you
that it's gonna
just
be good.
Laugh.
I'm just going to laugh at how bad certain things are. So when Jason Statham is making like weird eyebrow raises, I'm dying.
Jason Statham's fighting a megalodon. I mean, what do you guys expect? This movie's bad good, and I had a damn good time with it. The dialogue sucked, the script sucked, the major plot holes left and right, but the visuals were good, the action was good, and it was kind of funny. Although I had 15-20 people in my audience that were just cackling at some of these lines, and I was like, you're really going to laugh at the black guy who's like, oh, hell no, I ain't getting in that water. I ain't getting in that cage with that shark. Are you serious? I'm like, why are you laughing? It's not funny.
Yeah, that was bad. It was like, why did they have to... They couldn't have just... Also, none of these people were believable in, like, the occupations that they were supposed to have. This stereotypical just... black man is supposed to be like this high tech, like tech guy on a $1 trillion whatever underwater facility.
And he's afraid of sharks and water.
Yeah. What? I did not understand that at all.
And I guess the woman hacker with like the spiky haircut, of course, is just a stereotypical hacker with a weird haircut.
Yeah. And I would have loved to get like a, the classic enhance sort of moment from her, or just seeing her just like typing away. Just
did you notice every time, no matter what, her hair was perfect? She'd get in the water, hair was fine. She'd get out of the water, hair was fine. And actually, some guy comments, "What happened to your hair?" But the hair hasn't changed
exactly the same. I was so confused by that. I'd come back from the bathroom. I'd like gone to the bathroom and came back, and that line was there, and I was like, I missed something, but. Nothing happened to her hair. I was like, did anything actually happen? Was that supposed to be a joke? I was so confused.
Character-wise, I thought the little girl, like, she was bad at first, but she won me over. I thought she was okay.
She was garbage.
No?
She was like garbage. And then, like, her whole whatever that was, parent-trapping BS, that was so bad.
Yeah, that was weird. We'll get into that later. And my final non-spoiler, just, like, they had a really lazy way of getting them back into the water this whole movie. It's like they couldn't have any tension without getting them into the water. Every 5 minutes, something unbelievable would happen to get people who shouldn't just trip and fall into the water because they're marine biologists, like the smartest people on the planet, a $1 trillion oil rig, like just falling in the water, terrified of everything.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Last thing I want to mention is Rainn Wilson. Would have loved if they gave him like a little bit more to do, because I think he would have been hilarious.
And a better script. Yeah. He is funnier than he was in this movie. Even he couldn't say.
Yeah,
this
you could tell he was trying pretty hard too, and it was just not working.
When he like delivered the bad Japanese line, he could have kept going and made that funny, but instead there was just this really awkward. Everybody stares at each other, and then he's like, "All right, should we go inside?" And they're like, "We should go inside the building."
And then it was like the little girl had said something. She's like, she likes your hat or something. And that was the first, like, oh, I'm not going to like this little girl.
She said that she likes your hat.
And then they go into the elevator, and he's like, oh, you got a real firecracker of a granddaughter there. I was like, what?
And then he just starts commenting that the elevator's kind of ugly. Yeah. And I'm like, what are these characters talking about? Anyway, the script was atrocious. Let's recap. It's Jason Statham fighting a goddamn megalodon. Of course the script's going to be bad. The visuals were good. It's an action movie. It was fine. What is your grade?
My grade is a C+.
Oh, God damn it, Austin, me too. Oh, I should have just changed it to B- because I think I might have had more fun with it than you did.
This does not deserve a B-. Do not give it the B.
It's average. It's not even average, but it was fun, so I'll give it the fact that it was average.
I think I will have a hell of a lot of fun with it on a rewatch. And I'm just hammered watching it.
Yeah. I would have probably liked it a lot more if it was campier and stupider and had more gore.
Yeah, it was a little self-serious at times.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Don't take yourself seriously. Yeah. But don't go see it, but when it comes out, enjoy it on TNT.
Apparently a lot of people went to see it, so...
They did, yeah.
We might get a mech too, so we'll have
Let's spoil this, all right, this yeah. bad boy.
Spoiler time. Yeah. Stop listening, or just keep listening, because it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
All right, so this movie starts with an action sequence, like we said, on a rescue at the bottom of a trench for like a nuclear submarine, or like you have no idea what's going on. It's just like hectic shit is happening, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, shit is like bouncing around. It must be the Meg, and then it blows up, and like he has whatever. Jason Statham has to leave like crew members behind while the nuclear bomb ship blows up, and no one believes him when he says that he saw the Meg. It was like, how did no one else see this gigantic?
I think he just saw it. I don't think he saw. I think he saw the thing he was in caving in, and like something hitting it really hard. And he's like, nothing else could do that. Yeah. Like, that wasn't a shark. That wasn't a whale. Like, something was literally clomping its teeth down on this thing. And also, he gets a lot of shit for that the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. He just saved, like, a bunch of civilians. These people in the rescue op are going down there knowing they might not come back.
Yeah. And later when he, four scenes later, when he saves the people, they all get mad at him because people died. But the dude kept himself behind. It was like, you saw that on the camera if you were watching. They're still
God,
when
shit. She's like... You left him behind because that's who you are. Yeah. You are the guy that leaves people behind. It's like, oh my God, give this guy some credit. I hope Jason Statham just kills them all transporter style. Good to see Hiro Nakamura from Heroes again.
Yeah.
Just doing something. I always thought he'd do more, but he doesn't. He just, you know, looks like a fat lesbian woman in every role he's in now. Kind of a tragic character in this movie.
I would say that was definitely the saddest moment of the movie. You know, he's like scribbling on there. That was like one of the more serious parts of the movie. Like, that second rescue mission, it was very serious. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like much more intense than I was expecting. And it was like kind of sad. Like, he's like writing his little letter. And then it got ridiculous. Also, it was intercut with them going to get Jason Statham from whatever Bayport he was at. And he's supposed to be an alcoholic, and he's not acting like an alcoholic, like, at all. He just, like, likes to have
beers.
He's,
like, lightly drinking beer. Yeah. Alcoholics should be incoherent, fat. He's still in perfect shape, drinking, like, Negro Modelo Light.
I straight up thought
perfectly
he was
able to drive a motorcycle. Yeah.
I was like, that's not alcoholic. What's going on?
Make him sloppy, falling over, chugging out of a bottle that has three X's on it. Yeah. Like, come on.
And it was like they tried showcasing the fact that he's an alcoholic, because when two people show up that he knows, he offers them beer. And then they're like, no.
Yeah,
he's like, well, I'm going to have one.
Do you want to have a beer with me? Because I'm going to have a beer. But, like, these are two of your friends that you haven't seen in a long time. That's the first thing I do when I see friends that, like, am I an alcoholic? Don't answer that.
Yeah, so that was a nice intercut with the desperation down at the bottom of the sea level. And then we get the female lead, Li Bingbing. she thinks she can go down and rescue them.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just another moment where Jason Statham has to save her.
Yeah. It's the first moment. First of, like, seven.
Yeah.
Immediately she has to be saved. But I liked the under the fog sequences.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat, and I was disappointed they never came back. And they didn't really mention other additional creepy crawlers and characters and stuff that could come out. We'll talk about that at the very, very end. But, yeah, I wanted to see more of that.
Agreed. I am petrified of the ocean, especially the deep sea.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this quick. We might have talked about this before. Scarier thing to just, like, wake up in. Deep sea or outer space?
Deep sea.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yep. So it's terrifying to me. And the sequences down there were, like, kind of intense for me because I was like, oh, this is creepy. Like, who knows what's going to pop out? But they never really had anything pop out, which was disappointing, like you said.
A giant squid,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it wasn't much. But, yeah, no, I definitely liked the whole – I don't even know what they called it. Hydro something layer, the cloud thing.
Under upside down.
How is that going to – how is that supposed to prevent this gigantic shark?
So apparently that pissed me. I was like, what is going on here? Why can't the shark just blast through? Apparently it's because it's so cold. Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
I don't buy it.
That's terrible science.
Yeah. Also, the ship went through it in seconds.
Yeah. It was literally wispy air. It was like,
yeah, it's like a couple feet thick here. Like the Meg could just blast through it and we would have been fine. Yeah. That was terrible.
Ugh. It's like when, like, the first snowfall happens and, like, you step outside in, like, shorts because it's, like, a Saturday morning. It's like if you stepped outside on your porch and then came back inside 5 seconds later, that's what the Meg would be feeling going through that.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like, oh, that was fine.
Yeah.
Now let's go wreck some shit.
Yeah. Why is the Meg so mad, too? The Meg is just so pissed and wants to eat everything.
He
hates
the light.
Hates the light, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because plot. That's why. They should have made, like, Jason Statham killed his family or something, but they didn't. He was just mad.
Jason Statham killed his family. That'll be the next one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it will be.
Yeah. But then, you know, whatever, Jason Statham rescues them. I like how they still, him and the doctor have whatever, the contentious relationship because of the first scene on the nuclear submarine. And, like, he deems him, like, unfit. And then this was my favorite weird plot hole was, Jason Statham is diving down super fast in his little submarine thing to go rescue them. And he starts, like, getting a nosebleed and, like almost blacking out. And then he turns off the camera so, like, they can't see what he's doing. So they don't know that. And then it cuts to, like, something bad happening down there. And the female lead saying something. And it cuts back to Jason Statham. And he's back on the video without turning it back on. It was, like, literally 4 seconds later. I was like, what was the point of him turning it off?
Yeah, also his shitty doctor best friend, ex-best friend, was like, he's going too fast. He's going black out. And then his nose starts bleeding. I was like, well, he's in trouble here. Nah.
Nothing fine. Doesn't slow down at all.
Seconds later, he's fine.
Yeah. Just nothing.
Yeah, he's good.
Man. Good. But yeah, then he rescues them. That was kind of like a cool rescue scene. It was interesting to see him, like, do his work.
Yeah.
You, like, actually believe that he's good at what he does.
How about the awkward, you know, when they get back and she walks in on him after the shower?
Yeah, that was straight B-movie material, cliche, like, early 2000s shit right there.
I don't know about you, but many alcoholics look as perfectly cut as Jason Statham does. And they made a point, like, to Chris Hemsworth him and, like, show his, like, down, like almost to the peen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, he's standing there, and she's like, you are naked. And he's like, yeah, I just got out of the shower.
Yeah.
So bad.
And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, go put on some clothes. And he's like, yeah, that was my plan. And then she
peeks.
Yeah, and then she peeks. And then the dude comes by, the dude from Fear the Walking Dead comes walking down the hall, and he just, like, gives her the look. And she's like, I wasn't doing anything. He was like, okay.
Yeah, and he's like, just so you know, him and his ex-wife had a terrible marriage.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't say anything. Like, what is he bringing that up for?
Oh, man.
That marriage lasted about 3 weeks. What? Mind your own fucking business.
and then the whole ex-wife thing is so weird, too.
Yeah.
Like, when she recovers, and then he's, like, sitting there on the bed with her and, like, or playing cards with her. She's playing cards with, like, the kid. And then he comes in, and they, like, have a nice rapport. And then the little girl goes, my mom likes you too. And it's like, yeah. What the hell? And then the ex-wife starts just like giggling too. It's like, what the fuck?
The little girl's like a weird Cupid type entity. Yeah, it was really off-putting.
But anyways, let's talk about Rainn Wilson's character in this. So he goes from like enthusiastic billionaire, like philanthropist in a way.
Yeah,
like, I don't even
like,
know.
Actually likes the research, yeah. Likes what they're doing.
To cold-hearted corporate businessman to like wants to be like a freaking Navy SEAL hunter, not even whatever you want to call it, like this shark hunter thing. In like the span of 45 minutes. It was weird.
He also, I kept trying to figure out, and maybe I'm too dense for this, but how is finding the Meg and recording the Meg and releasing the discovery supposed to make you billions? I tell you what, I don't think marine biologists and like marine research and scientists make that much money. Like when you find a new animal, you catalog it, you get the pizzazz, you get the name in the book. But how is he planning on taking this giant Meg and like flipping it into the billions of dollars he poured into this research center?
I don't know. I was trying to figure it out the entire
time. What is his
movie.
Business model? You can't capture it. You're not building a Meg world where people can come up and pet it and kayak with it. Like,
I have,
and then put it in a museum.
I have no idea. I don't know how that works. I feel like I might need to do research on how people make money doing research on stuff like that.
I don't know.
I understand he can make money doing research on like cures for stuff.
Right.
But deep sea research? How like what is that?
I don't know. You put it in a museum, you put the skeleton up and obviously you get money for that, but like I just didn't understand how he was like just ready to flip this new discovery into billions of dollars. So what do we got for set piece number two here? Do you have anything else in set piece number one?
I got nothing else in set piece number one. Set piece number two is, if I recall correctly, that's when they are trying to get the GPS tracker on the shark, correct?
They're just doing boat stuff. Yeah. Just above the water. The Meg has gotten through. There was a temporary rift in the upside down, and it shot through there, and now is wreaking havoc.
And actually, before that happens, there is the moment that we all see in the trailer where the little girl is walking with like a weird rolly ball thing, and then that was terrifying. The shark just bites on the glass, and I was like, "That glass is about to break," and like no one does anything about it.
They don't care. As we'll see later, they trust glass quite a bit in this movie.
But so then they're trying to get the tracker on him, and they're like, "Well, this rifle thing only goes so far," and. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, who's going to do it? Well, we're going to draw strings, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, Jason Statham goes and does it. Like, I don't know why they even put up this facade like someone else was going to go do it. And and then right before that happens, it's like this whole – that's another weird dialogue thing where they're just forcing this weird romance between the female lead and him again. Yeah. I just – it was just weird. It was
They had absolutely zero chemistry the entire movie.
None at all. None at all. No. And, yeah. So then Jason Statham is out there, and he's in the water just by himself. There's a bunch of shipwreckage around him. There was clearly a bunch of people that were eaten alive. And they're just like, oh, no, he'll be fine. Yep. It won't attack you if, like, you're just by there by yourself. It only goes after big things. Bullshit.
Yeah, and it's like it'll only go after you if you make a bunch of splashes. So he's, like, swimming calmly, and then... Every time they're like, don't move, everybody just immediately is like, just starts splashing everywhere. So they eventually, they tag it, right?
They do, yes. And then it comes and attacks the ship, right?
Yep, of course.
And they're reeling it back in, like, super fast and trying to, like, zoom away. That was hilarious. Yeah. I was like, how is he going to survive that? Good. He's going to just, like, be concussed.
And they did a thing where, like, there was a bunch of slack in the line, and then the boat was going full speed, and then it just yanks on him. And I'm like, that would have pulled him in half. Yeah. But he's a ripped alcoholic, so he was fine.
Oh, yeah. All the beer fat that he clearly had helped.
Yes. He had a keg.
Soften the blow. Mm-hmm. So they get the tracker on him, and then it's all whatever. They go back to the ship. Actually... What's-his-face dies, doesn't he?
I think that might be later. That's later? Yes, at some point his partner dies, and that had one of the weirdest lines in the movie. he turns to the spiky-haired hacker girl and goes, "Don't worry, just don't turn back. You're a good person." And then he starts splashing in the water.
Yeah.
Like his death line was, "You're a good person."
So weird, so weird. But anyways, they go back down into the whatever the freaking oil rig thing, and Rainn Wilson is like apologizing for whatever deaths happened. God, this still might be later. All like the three action scenes after
they all
this
blend
all
together.
Blend.
The third one is with all the idiots on the beach.
But but then he's like, "Yeah, I warned whatever the Chinese government, the Australian government, the whatever Thai government." And whatever, they're sending destroyers, and he's getting like a rescue ship for them, and he's lying, and he goes out. This is when he goes out with his whole Navy SEAL team.
Turns into a Marine.
Yep. And I kind of like that, except like I would have liked him to survive or like a little bit more of that action, but he just gets wrecked. And also, how are they so stupid that they don't understand that that's a whale?
I'm really dumb because I thought he was going to nuke the research station.
I thought he was blowing that shit up. I thought he was leaving them to die, blowing it up. Because
it cut with him saying like being really real with them, and I was like, oh, this is like, I thought he was just a douchebag millionaire, but he actually likes these people and understands that they're grieving and like their friends died. And then there was an abrupt cut to him talking about bombs and like nukes and like massive explosions. I was like, and then he talks about the lawsuits, and I really thought he was going to kill them, all of them.
I thought so too. That was just another bit of bad dialogue where I was so misled.
Weird.
And like the one dude in the helicopter, when he's in there with him, he's like, "Oh, you can't really be serious about this." And he's like, "Oh, I am." And then the other guy's like, "Yes, let's do this. So we have these depth charges, blah 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 blah." And I was like, "Holy shit, he's actually gonna kill all these people." And he doesn't. And then they just go blow up whatever the whale.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know it's a whale?
And then they're like, "The Meg's coming. Go immediately." And he just falls out of the boat.
Just a classic.
Just a lazy
slapstick comedy move right
there. To get him in the water again. Yeah. There's so many lazy piece of shit ways to get them in the water. Like, they couldn't figure out how to make tense scenes in this movie without just putting them in the water, however possible.
Always just clumsy falls or moving too fast.
None of these people that have been around water their entire life and boat their entire lives should ever be allowed on a boat again because they're clumsy idiots.
But then we go back to the oil rig station thing, and they realize that no one's coming, except apparently the rescue ship is still coming, but he didn't warn the government or something. So confusing, the logic there.
Yeah.
So then they commandeer the rescue ship, I guess. And
yeah, I think they're like, "We're gonna use the rescue ship for our action mission."
Yeah, and there's
real quick before we get too far. Did you think that, obviously I knew they didn't have really kill the Meg number one, but didn't it look way too small when they had it like mounted on the ship in action set piece number two? And then real Meg comes and kills it. I was like, are all these guys idiots? They saw the size of the Meg. That's not the Meg.
Oh yeah. That thing was tiny. I was like, that's not very big.
I mean, that's just a big shark. That's not a Megalodon.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird.
Idiots.
I was, it was beyond me.
Continue.
Before, actually, because I'm still confused on when these things happen, the grandpa dies, or like the head researcher guy dies.
Yep.
What did he die from? Just exhaustion? Like he was just like just, old
he
and
looked,
tired?
He looked kind of cold.
He just wanted to give up.
He might have had a really bad sneeze or a cough. He might have drank too much salt water.
He just
maybe had an open sore.
He straight up just passes on. He's just like down for the count, not coming
back.
And
then just lazy back and forth. "Father, I always wanted to be like you." And he's like, "You are." And he's like, "No, I'm not even at all." And he's like, dead.
Yeah.
Bad.
Just ridiculous. Okay, so they commandeer the rescue ship, and it's time to go after the Big Meg. And that thing is on a beeline towards
a very, very dense beach with a bunch of Asian people and
idiots
similarly
swimming.
Brand and producted tubes that are bright colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, we get him going towards a yacht, the Meg, going towards the yacht, this wedding yacht, where like these bridesmaids and groomsmen just jump off into the water for some reason.
You're ruining my wedding!
Yeah. And then the little Toto dog jumps out and swims out there. And what dog is just swimming just straight into the middle of the
ocean?
And
what wedding party is, like, looking at the dog like, oh, yeah. Oh, and it's just swimming away. And she's like, she's screaming. This is the bride is screaming, get my dog. And they're like, it's fine. No, a tiny dog in the middle of the ocean's not fine.
And I thought the dog was going to die right there. And I'm pretty sure they faked you out that the dog was going to die.
Yeah, they faked you out.
There was some hilarious – there's like a website called like doesthedogdie.com. Yeah. There was some hilarious comments on it before like this movie was released. And people were like, oh, the dog's definitely going to die. I can't believe they made this movie. Blah, blah, blah. Like all this stuff. I was dying reading them. But anyways, then the Meg is coming at him. Then the Meg goes to the beach. And, you know, it's just kind of like lurking below a little bit. Just creeping down there.
Nobody notices.
How does nobody notice a 90-foot behemoth
in
what can't be that deep of water? Because they're still pretty
close. Not making,
close
like,
to the
any
beach.
Waves. Yeah. And, like, people, all those people out there, somebody would be underwater, like, looking with a mask, scuba diving, something. Just more dumb plot holes.
But anyways, then the Meg just starts going to town. Thank God. I was really upset that
He doesn't... He's not really tearing people in half. He's kind of just, like eating them.
Was upset that the little fat kid that they kept going to with his little popsicle in the water. First off, dirty as hell. Don't bring a popsicle into the ocean. Gross.
That's gross.
I was pretty upset that he didn't die. I just wanted him to get eaten.
Yeah, he would have been a tasty little treat for the Meg. I was disappointed too. And that brings me to my point, like. The kill count was way too low in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see some. I wanted Spiky Hair Hacker to die. I wanted the big, tasty, fat man to die. Man, everybody should have went down.
Yeah.
They faked you out a bunch, and they just you didn't get too many main character deaths.
Yeah. I would have liked a Deep Blue Sea action, just like the two main characters and LL Cool J survived.
Dude, at one point when the black guy who is afraid of water started giving a speech, I'm like, no. No. No, they're not going to do it. No. And they didn't, luckily.
I would have been fine if he died, though. That would have been nice.
I would have been fine if he died. I just didn't want him to go out exactly like Sammy J did.
Yeah. But then their whole plan is to use like these dolphin noises underwater to get the Meg to come to them, which it does after its reign of terror on the beachfront there. And then Li Bingbing and Jason Statham are in their like mini submarines that they fashioned rockets onto somehow.
Yeah, something out of like the Phantom Menace underwater scenes. Yeah.
And their whole idea is to apparently just let the thing. They never try to draw the Meg away from the ship. It's always right by the ship, and they keep shooting it at the ship.
Yeah. And they keep like using the ship to like bonk the Meg on the head. Like, what are you doing? Go have this battle 100 miles out. Draw it away. And they didn't really have a plan. They're just like, let's go underwater with our underwater TIE fighters and shoot stuff at it and hope it works. Like, what?
And so then obviously it wreaks havoc and things don't go completely right because they just keep failing with their little rockets. And
Statham saves the girl about 9 other times.
Statham's rocket gets messed up. He can't shoot it off. The Meg ruins the ship. The Meg doesn't even ruin the ship, does it? The helicopters crash into each other.
Here we go. Here's another stupid, lazy reason to get everybody in the water. Helicopters get in the air, and you're never really sure, are they media?
Yeah,
is that who
no
they
idea.
Are? Are they just
no
tourists that hijacked helicopters? And then, of course, in the entire world of the sky, two of them run into each other. And then, of course, in the entire open fucking sea, the two helicopters that ran into each other crash into the fucking boat. And of course, everybody's in the water again because that's where they have to be to build tension.
Yep. And then, Li Bingbing, God, I just love that name, rises up to the surface to rescue them, or some of them, I guess, on her, just the wings of her ship. So they're just sitting there. And Statham is still down there trying to lead it on this wild goose chase. And then he's like, he has this whole like speech to them, and he's like, I know what I have to do.
Yep,
he's like,
of course.
Sometimes it's just down to like what you have to give up to win, or some weird like speech like
it's
that.
It's not about who you lose; it's about who you save.
Yeah.
So essentially, the girl rose from the Last Jedi speech,
and that entire speech made me think, oh, Statham's just gonna like grab the torpedo and just swim into the Meg's mouth, or drive into the Meg's mouth.
Yeah.
Which he does not do. Instead,
I think he just gets eaten. He gets caught in the mouth.
He does this weird thing where. He
Oh yeah.
Uses the ship to like cut open the Meg's like stomach or just like incise it, and then he's out of it, and he grabs like a spear or part of the thing, stabs it in the eye.
Not just stabs it in the eye. Well, does he stab it in the eye first? Or are you talking about where he literally flies up in the air and stabs it in the eye? Does he stab it first, or is that what you're talking about?
I gotta be honest, I don't remember.
He, at one point, gets launched into the air with the Meg. I don't know how or why they both get out of the water, but they're, you know, 10 feet in the air, he's flying, stabs the Meg in the eye outside of the water, which probably the coolest part of the movie, of course. I wanted more of that. I wanted him to fist fight the Meg.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Meg is dead. I would have loved to see him punch the Meg on the snout. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. And then, ironically, a bunch of little sharks eat the Meg. Yep.
And then there was, like, and then they're, like, there was, like, one that, like, came up through, like, its mouth. And they're, like, I saw a couple comments on Reddit. They were, like, huh, is that a baby Meg? I was like, no, I don't think it was a baby Meg.
I think it was just something that was eating it, or maybe a shark that the Meg ate that got out.
Yeah.
Hold on, though, because they make the girl the hero, finally. There's a hammerhead shark, probably not even coming at Jason Statham, probably just coming at the shark to eat. And he's like, oh, man, after all this is how I'm going to die. And she comes in and, like, punches it in the face with the ship torpedo thing. I don't know.
And then... yeah, so then we get the end where they're all on the wedding yacht, her and Jason Statham and the kid are like happily ever after. They're like, they've just decided that they're gonna be a family now. Officially.
Oh yeah, I think the kid was like, I think we all need a vacation. Like, they're just going to Disneyland.
And then that's another one of Jason Statham's weird, like, facial expressions where he, like, raises his eyebrows and, like, nods. It's just, like, you didn't even see
it. No, it's because the girl did, like, the ugga, like, the
that's
like the hubba shit. Hubba eyebrows. She did that to him earlier, and he's like, hey, I'm going to have sex with your mom. Like,
this damn movie.
Like, I blast this girl, like, these sexual innuendos.
This goddamn movie.
How about the toast that they give at the end? Here's to being alive. Like, what about your friends that died? Like,
they showed their sadness over that.
They did, but then they're just clinking glasses. Yeah. Hey, we made it. The rest of them were liabilities. They didn't do anything except fall in the water and flop around.
Also, I feel like there was, like, way more people that would have been on that rescue ship that, like... Yeah. Must have died because they weren't on the...
Well, yeah, they were like below deck, like shoveling coal into it, like doing all the hard work, and they just drowned to death.
At the very end, when it's like heroes. It's like the shot in the ocean again, did you think that they were going to try and jump scare you with another big old shark coming through?
First of all, there were a couple shitty jump scares, which kind of pissed me off. But yes, I was disappointed they didn't tease another monster. And I Googled, there was no after credits. They had talks of additional monsters and creatures that could be under the ground. And where's the tease?
I know. I would have loved it. Would have loved it.
What are they doing? This movie's doing well. Like, they didn't tease us with a sequel. I was kind of disappointed for once.
Yeah. I want a sequel with just a bunch of ridiculously big other monsters. And then it's
I don't want it to go sci-fi like Sharknado or like Mecha Shark or, you know, sharks mixed with octopus. Like, just give me something else, like a big kaiju that could be real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board with that. All right. Grades again.
We both said C+. It is a fine movie if you go in knowing what you're getting. You are not getting an Oscar movie here. You get a popcorn movie that you can watch drunk and have fun and laugh at.
Yep, that is the best way to put it. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you use. Like, comment, share on all social media. Tell your friends to listen. Do all that fun stuff, and remember to tune in next week. Not quite sure what we're going to have yet. We have Crazy Rich Asians, Black Klansmen, maybe Searching. I don't know if Searching's out yet. Or maybe something else, Mile 22. I don't know. There's a bunch of like things that we might not be very interested in, but we might test out. But we'll keep you updated. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.